heard a lot of really, really wonderful discussions. I had the luxury of wandering around and heard a lot of laughter and a lot of really insightful discussions on different points. And I think that all of you have ideas and perceptions that are important. And I think we've got to how important it is there's dialogue. And people's perceptions vary by experience, gender, ethnicity, and whether you identify currently as a couple or you currently identify as a single. What I'm hoping that we'll do for the next few minutes is that some of you will share some of the points that came forward in your discussion groups. We fly by the seat of our pants here in the diversity committee, so we're learning. These are things that you're sharing with us as well. We're learning too. I'll start by saying one of the questions that stood out in my mind, because it's something that I'm going through, is the very last one. If you were coupled for a long time and you recently split up, what prejudice do you think you may encounter and why? Now, I was in a couple for a very long time. I didn't realize until I was no longer in a couple that I was not Tracy. All this time I thought I was Tracy. But it turns out I was Beverly and Tracy, and people had a real difficult time seeing me as a single person or her as a single person instead of us as just a unit, you know? I also didn't realize that because I was exiting a relationship that I was going to lose some long-term friends. You know, call me naive, but I didn't realize that was going to happen. And so I realized, okay, now I have these issues and this grief over this relationship, but I've got all this grief over others too, or people that I socialized with quite a bit that were couples, forgot to invite either one of us over to the barbecue or whatever they were doing, so I lost some of that. I didn't know that people. Somehow I was responsible for some of their relationships as well. And my relationship that I had was for quite some time, and then people said, how could you do this? I mean, if you guys can't do it, then we don't have any hope. And I'm just like, wait a second, I can't be responsible for your relationship too, you know? All of a sudden, those are some of the things that I have to work through. And I'm interested to see if anybody else, you know, I threw that question out because it's one that's very familiar to my recent experience, but did anybody else talk about this kind of thing?
We can get that far.
Yeah. And, you know, I've shared mine, but I'd love to hear, and I did hear some terrific discussions going on, I'd love to hear some of the things that people maybe learned that, or discussed that they hadn't even thought about before this afternoon.
We had a pretty good discussion about appearance and looks and how we base too much on what do they look like on the outside, and don't take time to get to know the real person because we just decided that we don't want to look at them. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I mentioned in the end that I think is very detrimental, whether you're gay or straight or anything else, is the new trend on the web of, you know, rating people on a 1 to 10 and where do you fit in the scale? And everybody's rushing to check their score to see how you fit into that.
Oh, that's not good for someone.
No. Well, it depends, right?
Depends on how you're right.
you just gave me an aha moment with what you said, because I've heard of people breaking up that were in long-term relationships, and I've said, gosh, if they can't make it, that puts a huge strain on me.
Right, I mean, you know, yeah, we already feel like a failure, but, but, you know.
But, and so it means nothing with someone else's relationship. It's theirs.
Right.
Thank you.
But let me just say that that happens in both the,
yes,
the gay community and the straight world as well.
Yes, it does.
But it's, you know, it's couples versus singles issue.
Mm-hmm.
In our group, we talked about various things, but the thing I found interesting was you talked about couples who have extreme age differences, like maybe an older man with a young, I don't want to say morning, but it's...
I did.
What it looks like on the outside to me is probably not what they say, see in each other and what their relationship means to them. But it's so easy just to write it off as saying, he's the sugar daddy, or his little kid's being bought, or...
We have organizations like NAMBLA to thank for that.
Yeah, I think that's so helpful.
Yes.
Tell people who that is, the ones that don't know.
Was it the North American Man-Boy-Love Association?
But I think what you're saying illustrates how, you know, sometimes we see a couple rolling down the street, I don't even know your names, but I've just given you a list of like 10 different attributes to your relationship, you know, and you know, all those assumptions, just by seeing you walk down the street. Do we have a tendency to insist that, you know, if you're single, you must be lonely, that you can't be happy?
We talked about that.
Or that if you're having a couple, you're never going to feel lonely.
That coupleness takes away loneliness. Yeah. Those are totally separate things.
Good point. Loneliness starts from within.
You have to be happy with yourself before you can be happy with somebody else. Some people are happy by themselves and don't need somebody else.
That's right.
Not everybody has to be coupled.
I have something to share on that note too. A lot of people assume, and I've had this happen to me when I was single, a good looking guy is like you, not attached. And it's like,
what's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly. It's nerve wracking, you know.
The flip side of that, though, is a person who is partner free, and people making the assumption that if you are attractive by any stretch of the imagination, you must be coupled. And that partner-free person may very well be looking for a partner or open to that notion. But people make that assumption that you've got to be partnered because, after all, you're just so beautiful, you're so handsome, you know, you look so good. So there's both sides of that coin.
There's a flip side of that.
Yet another flip.
That I was thinking about many years ago. I knew a couple. The guy was blind, and he was dating a woman that was very, very big. In fact, his motto was, if I can flip my arms around her waist, she's too small.
Wow.
And he loved her completely. My dad and I were on the bus with this couple, and my dad turned to me and says, if he could see what he's got, he would never go out with her. And I thought, I'm glad he can't see, because he gets to see the real person this way. I'm glad that he's blind so he doesn't see, because if he's, my dad was probably right, if he saw what she looked like, he probably wouldn't go out with her.
I don't know.
He's
got them describing, if I can put my arms around her waist and she's too small. He knew what he was attracted to physically, and then we're riding down the bus, and that doesn't match what we're attracted to physically, and there's something wrong with it.
I'm a bartender in a gay bar in West Hollywood, and I get it's a neighborhood bar, so you go up to regular clientele, and I get asked, you know, are you seeing somebody? When I tell them no, I get the same thing as you. Why not? One guy last time, he asked me 3 times. I was like, because I'm not. Just because I work in soap operas, that means that I should have to ask somebody. And at the same time, there's this guy, he's a midget, that comes in. And last month, he brought in a date. You would not believe it. Everybody thought, like, how did this guy get a date? How did he, like, he doesn't deserve to have somebody in love with these 2 people. So, it's amazing that we just assume certain people should, and certain people should not be partners.
It's true. Oh, can I just?
I was gonna say that what Jim was talking about, that the environment and legacy, he just sees in a much different way than we do.
Absolutely, absolutely. He sees better.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I just want to piggyback on what you said about the little person with the great day. I was at a conference last weekend, and it's a business conference, and one of the speakers was a motivational speaker, and this guy was unbelievably dynamite. I mean, he's just, God, he just will blow your mind. I don't care what you do for a living, this man will blow your mind, he will motivate you. This is a man who was born with no arms and no hands. And so when he came out on the stage, he was wearing a jacket, a suit. He was wearing a suit. And he walks out, and a lot of people knew who he was. They knew, but it's still something that's startling for someone who wasn't expecting that. And so first thing he did was made a joke. Look, Ma, no hands, you know. but the whole time he was talking, he shared his life story, and he shared how hurt he had been growing up. And he shared lots of different stories. But one of the ones was about when he was in high school and how his friends were dating. And of course, you know, he wasn't dating, and his friends were getting a driver's license. He got a driver's license. He does everything with his feet. He did get a driver's license, and his friends loved it because he was the only one in his group that had a car. He talked about how he would get pulled over by a police officer for speeding. I'm sorry. The officer would come to the car and say, and not know, you know, that he didn't have any arms or hands. And still not knowing, looking at him, not knowing, because making the assumption that if he's driving, he must be doing it with. So the officer would say, may I see your license? And he'd grab it with his foot. And the officer would go, okay. It's okay. I know. But my point is that the whole time he was speaking, and I was so moved by this, and he's a Christian in a big way. He's worked with some of the biggest Christians that we know. The whole time he was speaking, I was sitting there. I found myself sitting there saying, Lord, please, if he wants to be with someone, let him be with someone. Because he was such an incredibly wonderful man. And for me, the thought that people would discriminate against him because he was missing a few limbs that they have, it just broke my heart. I tend to be pretty sensitive about that kind of stuff, so I'm sitting there trying not to cry, but I'm thinking, Lord, if it's his heart's desire to be with someone, please, 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 just let it be. And then, you know, at some point he introduced his wife. And she's breathtakingly gorgeous.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous. She's just gorgeous. So, people, I know the people in that audience made assumptions about this man. And I know that there were people there who said, well, oh, what a shame he'll never be married. What a shame he never got to date. You know, we make assumptions. We make assumptions all the time.
It's an interesting thing. I think in some of what you're saying, you sort of tap into the love of God, and we really want to be looking beyond some of these stereotypes, and especially the physical thing. And I remember being on the beach, a year and a half ago, and I couldn't even tell you the status of the couple, because I don't know if they're Christian or if they're what they were. It was a heterosexual couple. And they were young. And the guy was cute, hot, blonde. And the woman that he was with was not just overweight, she was very obese. And they were so much in love and having such a good time that you just step back and you say, you know, we keep wanting to say, oh, well, somehow we have to get beyond these perceptions and begin to see who people really are and appreciate them for what they've gotten. And not get all of this, you know, stuff that we're trained by our culture to do that or judge.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because we, each individual has a perception of what beautiful is, but yet, but we all have this collective perception, or we have been conditioned with those things, the beautiful people, the beautiful people. And beauty's the eye of the beholder, and we're defining that based on our perception of beautiful versus...
We're prejudiced by our culture, we're prejudiced by so many things, and somehow God has to give us a vision to see beyond those things, and that's what we're trying to do.
What do we think of those people in there? I mean, what do we think of that couple? What do we think of each individual? Like, what do we assume about him, and what do we assume about her?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, some people will probably say, oh gosh, his esteem level is low. You know, or that's the best he could do, or whatever. And it's sad that our society has come to this point, and even more so the gay community, to be that superficial. You know, you don't look good enough for me. You don't make enough money for me. You know, you don't have a career. You're not white. You're not black. Can you go
Here's the thing about this particular couple was it was totally apparent that they were fully in love with each other. It wasn't even like they were just sitting there on the beach just kind of hanging out. They were playing, they were romping, they were holding hands, they were totally in love with each other. That's what I thought was it wasn't, you didn't have any question that that they, you know, that they saw in each other something that was extremely special and didn't have to do with what they were like businesses. And I thought that was a miracle.
Kathy, you had something.
Yeah, something similar that I shared with our group. You hear in situations where a child is raped, and she's such a beautiful little girl, she didn't deserve it. And I say, what, if she'd been ugly, she did?
Yeah.
That's where looksism gets taken too far.
Well, I think the point you just made is that it permeates every
year. I've said it myself. Oh, what a beautiful.
You have raised your hand.
Kenan. It's interesting we're staying on this topic, but obviously God has something here for us, I think. And I know that God has had something here in this area for me for several months now. And my history, I came out of the whole circuit boy drug culture and Atlanta, where at that time I starved myself and became bulimic in order to try to be really skinny and everything. And so at that time I would only associate with really, really pretty boys, and I tried to make myself feel perfect and everything like that. And everybody else just wasn't worth my time. I'm not proud to say, you know. And God's been challenging me because I recently moved to West Hollywood, and my roommate is pretty overweight, pretty definitely overweight. And I normally, when I used to see things, and this is a process, I'm not going to say I'm there yet, and it's convicting even as I say this and think about it, but I wasn't going to room with him, not because I didn't like the place and not because he didn't seem like a nice person, but because he was very overweight. And then one of my friends who's here encouraged me. He's a good person. Why don't you go ahead and room with him? And I have roomed with him, and I noticed lately that he has so much more fun in life than I do. And, you know, I find myself seeing the guys that bring home on a date or something, and they'll be young and cute, and this is awful that I think this guy's convicting me. But sometimes I'll be like, how did he get such a cute person to go home with him? Is he paying them? No, that's awful. I'm being honest. This is all here, I think, but I seriously wonder sometimes.
But you're not the only one that thinks like that. Don't think that you're the only one.
He went to a weekend conference a couple weeks ago in Long Beach that was for people that are attracted. They call them chubby chasers. And I just thought, my initial reaction was, this is just so wrong, and what's wrong, and you know, why are these people after him? They must have low self-esteem or something, you know, or, and there's this Asian guy, and I thought, well, he must be trying to move to L.A. I mean, I thought all these horrible things that just reveal all the wrong ways of thinking that I have.
Well, our society.
And people say to me, you know, sometimes I think, why are you alone, you know? You're not that old yet. And not that ugly, and...
No! That would be tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
You know, I'm
sorry, I come back tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
I'm opening myself up here because I realize everything that I'm saying is so messed up. But it's like...
Oh, y'all do it. But we all do it. I'm telling you, you know that.
So... You know, automatically I feel like I have to have somebody in order to be complete. Like it's a waste for me to be alone. Mm-hmm. But why is it any more of a waste for me to be alone than it is for him to be alone? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or someone older to be alone?
Anyway, I'm going to, if Sheila, you wanted to make a comment, we'll do Sheila and then you, and then I need Martin to pray, right? And, but I also want to say, before I go to the last one, thank you so much.
The gentleman, what's your name in the structure? David. When David was talking about how astounded he was to see these two 25-year-old, you know, this couple, wouldn't it have been cool if the astounding aspect of that would have been the love that he saw between them instead of what they looked like? Yeah. You know, we were at a place
that's
where...
That's what he said.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that's what he thought. But wouldn't it be wonderful if the whole society saw that same... Yeah, saw that same thing. And instead of, you know, you have this these people that don't, according to us, fit. So, yeah, that was great.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I think we all feel that way and struggle with that. It's hugely important to me, but there was a thing they had on Dateline or something earlier this year. They did a study on it. They had beautiful people with these models, thriving models, male and female, and then they had just these, you know, average of people. They were attractive. And they would be on the street downtown, and they would have a folder, and then they would drop it in front of people. And everybody... were tackling each other to help these beautiful people. And the people that were just average looking, they would just walk over the boulder or whatever, and time again, they said that all of us want approval from the beautiful people. We want to be accepted, you know, go back to the high school.
Yes.
That even babies, I don't know how true it is, but babies do the same thing.
Symmetrical features, they do.
Yeah, symmetrical features and all that. I mean, I think it's
Okay. I just want to very, very quickly piggyback on something that Tony said because he made an excellent point, and I think that we just kind of ran over that. But I think it's an important point that he made, and that is that when a person is single and they want to be single, it's really okay. Mm-hmm. And that we, as a society, we have a tendency to feel that certainly everybody needs to be coupled. And that's absolutely not the fact. There really are people who are single because they want to be single. And I think that we need to respect that.
Paul, what did you just say? Would you say that again?
What is a whole number?
Hello. Martin will pray and close our forum. Thank you so much for attending. But if you still want to talk about it some more, you're welcome to hang out.
Yeah, because we don't have dinner till like 5:15.
So. We do have the annual meeting.
Right.
Those of you that got to go to the annual meeting, you know. But it seems like that there's a need and people, and the vibe that I'm getting is that some of you still want to talk about it some more. So we'll close the meeting and those who have to go, you know, thank you for coming. But if you want to stay and discuss about it some more, hey, we're open for 5:15. So. You know, let's do what the Lord lead us to do.
Thank you so much. Will you please join me in prayer? Dear Lord, as we make our way to this life, we know how much is given to us and how much is taken away. And whether we find ourselves at any point, single or coupled, remind us that in every day, you are fully present, fully with us, blessing us, giving us challenges. Lord, help us to remember that whatever our circumstances, we need to treat each other as we wish to be treated. Give us the grace and the discernment to see others and to see ourselves as you see us. With love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for coming.